I don't know if this is still a thing, but a few years back there was this WWJD thing that was part of the church subculture, particularly evangelical churches. You could get bracelets and wristbands, t-shirts, bumper stickers, etc., etc., with these four letters, which stood for "What Would Jesus Do?" These things were marketed, to be honest, mainly as part of the ridiculously unhealthy obsession with purity culture that some parts of the church have. So the idea that any time you were getting all warmed up for getting jiggy, you might catch a glimpse of your wristband and know that Jesus doesn't want you to have any sexy time. Well, certainly if you're unmarried or not straight. Otherwise it was okay and you didn't need the wristband in the first place. But rather than what would Jesus do, perhaps we should start looking at what Jesus actually did, starting with this evening's gospel. We had this gospel reading where Jesus drives out the money changers from the temple. That one was also set earlier in the week for our noontime prayers, and it happened to be the day when I used a format from the Sacred Circle, which is the Anglican Council of Indigenous Peoples. I read the passage three times and people give me reflections in the comments on Facebook. Firstly, what word or phrases stand out? Then what is Jesus or the Gospel saying as they hear these words? And then what is Jesus or the Gospel calling you to do? And when I asked in that reflective time what the Gospel was saying, a number of people said, keep church buildings holy. Honor the church, use churches for worship, etc. My own reflection didn't quite go down that route. Because in this story, Jesus is responding not to the defilement of worship, but mistreatment of the poor. Jesus here is dealing with a temple which had a marketplace in the courts, which was fine, because those who came to worship had to offer sacrifices as prescribed by Torah, the law. And as most people don't have cattle, goats, doves, etc. to hand, there were those who sold such fowl and livestock to worshippers. Also, because the temple authorities would only accept temple money, or shekels, not the everyday currency, Greek and Roman currencies of the land, because everyday money was dirty and might have been involved in dishonest transactions, there were people who would change money at a rate favorable to themselves outside the temple to facilitate offerings and temple taxes and the like and the purchase of these animals for sacrifice. And those who couldn't afford the temple tax or could hardly afford the temple tax and the purchase of animals were being fleeced by these money changers and livestock merchants. People more concerned with profit than enabling faithful worship. This is what Jesus gets mad at. Angry enough to whip the animals out of the temple market and flip over the tables and the money changers. It's a matter of justice. And the temple authorities allowing this to happen and getting a cut of the profits is also enraging Jesus. This isn't just about worship for Jesus, but the justice that the law demands. Again and again, the Hebrew prophets remind us that the purpose of law in our scriptures is to create equity and a just society, and that the life of prayer is meant to come from that and be a reflection of it, not be a distraction from it. And so here, Jesus is ticked. And those who make this passage only about religious observance have missed the heart of it. In the way that the gospel writers do, this is a careful construction. This account follows on from the wedding of the wedding feast at Cana in Galilee, the changing water into wine, one of the signs around which the Gospel of John is constructed. And John's gospel, through its entirety, is concerned with revealing who Jesus is, with showing the values of God's reign, with what are called the signs of the kingdom. And it's no accident that this story is placed at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. In the other Gospels, where it appears, it follows the triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem, which we remember on Palm Sunday. But here, it's at the beginning to set out Jesus' agenda, to show us something of who Jesus was. It echoes Jesus' appearance in Luke's Gospel, where at the beginning of his ministry, he reads from the scroll of Isaiah and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, and freedom for those who are in prison." In both of those openers, we are being shown a Jesus who is passionately committed to a faith founded on justice, passionately committed to the poor and the needy, a faith which rails against false piety and piety which penalizes the vulnerable. That's the heart of today's story. So the next time someone says, although we probably don't move in circles where they will, "What would Jesus do?" remind them that flipping tables and getting really angry at injustice is quite high on the option list. Thanks be to God.